I invite you to turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 2, as we look at the theme of peace this Advent season. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Somebody could catch the door, please. Thank you. Title of this morning's message is Finding Peace in an Uncertain World. As we move towards the end of this year, we could not have anticipated how this year would have ended at the beginning of this year. If we were to have written a prediction of what this year would look like, I guarantee that none of us would have written what we've experienced. We always realize that there is uncertainty in this world, that we can't predict what is going to happen, but this has certainly brought that reality home, is that there is an uncertainty in this world that we cannot anticipate. Though we give it our best attempts, though we try to plan and we try to move forward and try to predict what's going to happen, or at least act in a way that is consistent with how we want things to turn out, there is an uncertainty about life in general. And that can lead to a lack of peace for people. We trust and know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even ourselves, if we're honest, we realize that there are times when our peace is lacking. And then if we can anticipate or think about those who don't know God, those who don't know Christ Jesus, and all of this uncertainty that's taken place, and the peace that is missing from their lives because things as they had planned them are not going according to their plan. And so, with that lack of peace becomes an uncertainty. And what we find in this passage of Scripture is that in the coming of Jesus Christ, we find peace. And this is a reminder for us that we can have true peace in the midst of an uncertain world. And this encounter that the angel and the multitude have with the shepherds remind us of some important truths about how we can find peace in the midst of an uncertain world. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 through verse 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." How do we find true peace in an uncertain world? I believe first we find true peace in an uncertain world when we are reminded of who God is. When the angels first appeared to the shepherds, the scripture says that the shepherds were afraid. They were terribly frightened, as this version writes, because they had encountered the glory of God. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I can't begin to imagine what it was like for them with that angel to suddenly stand before them and for the fullness of the glory of the Lord to shine around them. To stop and think about that, it must have been a terribly frightening experience. You're just out there doing your thing out in the fields, and all of a sudden the angel comes and all of God's glory is shining right there. And the angel had to reassure him, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." And then in verse 13, the scripture says, "And suddenly there was with an angel the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest." So not only was one good enough, the multitude of the heavenly host started praising God and saying and singing glory to God in the highest. As if the shepherds weren't disturbed enough by the glory of God shining around them with one angel. All of this was happening. And yet, as all of this was happening, God himself was being revealed. They were seeing God in the fullness of his glory shine around them, and they were hearing the angels offer praise, confirming and praising that glory that was shining around them. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. They were praising God. Praise and glory. What a great place to begin to put God in perspective. By praising him, stopping and praising him for who he is. We often and most certainly should give him thanks and praise him for what he's done. But we first need to stop and praise him for who he is. And if we spent the time going through all of the attributes of God and all that God is and just spent time praising him for who he is, how our lives and our prayer life would be transformed as we stop and focus on all of those things that we mentioned, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, his glory, his perfection, all of those things. It puts God in perspective. And if we're wanting to find true peace in the midst of this uncertain world, we need to put God in perspective again. We need to make sure God is sitting on his throne as he always is. We need to be reminded that God is glorious and that he wants to reveal and to show his glory to us. And we want to be able to praise and to sing to him, glory to God in the highest. And to let the praise flow out of our lips and out of our hearts and out of our mouths. Someone described the glory of the Lord as the manifestation of God's presence among his people, and how desperately our nation and our world needs the manifestation of the glory of God among his people. When that happens, revival takes place. When God's glory shines again brightly through his people and manifests itself among his people, amazing things begin to happen. As glory, the glory of God is revealed. Someone described the act of praising God as the proper response, not only for the believer, but all of God's creation. To praise God and to let the praise flow from our lips. It's interesting to note that the message of glory and praise was followed by the declaration of peace, wasn't it? The heavenly host were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. When we begin to put the glory of God and the praise of God in proper perspective, we begin to experience the peace of God in ways that we may not have before. It's always good to be reminded to place God where he's rightfully needing to be, on his throne. We find true peace when we are reminded of who God is. Great preacher and author Matthew Henry once said, "When Christ died, he left a will in which he gave his soul to his Father, his body to Joseph of Arimathea, his clothes to the soldiers, and his mother to John, but to his disciples, who had left all to follow him, he left not silver or gold, but something far better, his peace. Peace I leave with you. He has left us his peace. We are his disciples. We are his followers. We follow Jesus, and he has left us his peace, and he sent peace to earth in Jesus Christ. And so if we want to find true peace, we start by being reminded of who God is. God is gracious. God is glorious. God is worthy of praise. And when we are praising him, when we are glorifying him, we can experience peace. Not only do we find peace when we are reminded of who God is, we find true peace in the midst of uncertain times when we make sure that we get relationships right. The scripture says that in addition to praising God and declaring glory to God, that the heavenly host announced, and on earth, peace among men. The NIV writes it this way, peace to men in whom his favor rests. God knew that he was sending Jesus into a world that was less than peaceful. And if there was any evidence that was needed after Jesus was born, look at what Herod did. And all of the wars that had taken place prior to Jesus coming, and all of the tumult that was there as the world was waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus came into a world that was less than peaceful. And Jesus came to bring goodwill toward men. That's what the angels announced. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. That was 2,000 years ago. However, it seems that even today, we see more strife within people, between people, and among people than we ever have before. Conflicts going on, conflicts taking place, strained relationships between families and friends and co-workers and people who don't even know each other. It's amazing how many relationships get strained between people who don't know each other on places like Facebook and Twitter. Because everybody's got to have their opinion and write something to people that they don't know and they probably don't really care about, but I've got to make sure that my opinion gets known so that people can respond and be angry about it. There's a lack of peace in this world as a result of that, in addition to everything else that is happening. There are strained relationships everywhere, and the truth is that there isn't a single strained relationship that leads to peace and goodwill. That's not the formula, and that's not how it works. We don't strain relationships so that we can say, okay, that relationship is strained. Are we at peace now? Realize how silly that sounds even coming out of my mouth. We get up in arms about the smallest things, and it slowly, brick by brick, builds up a wall, and those are walls that we aren't able to break down. The truth in Scripture is that we are not called to be peacekeepers. We're called to be peacemakers. There is a huge difference. Being a peacekeeper can be a rather passive event. I'm just going to make sure that I don't rock the boat. I'm going to make sure I don't say the wrong thing. And if I'm just quiet about this, the peace will be kept, or so we think. Now, of course, there will be that current underneath that will make things uncomfortable and uncertain. But on the surface, it'll look like peace. Peacemaking is an active process where we are working to make peace among people. And that was the active process when Jesus Christ came to bring peace to earth, to bring peace among men. The scripture reminds us of that as far as it depends on us to be at peace with all people. It also reminds us in the Psalms to seek peace and pursue it. And also in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, verse 9 of Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers, but peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. There's a Swedish physicist by the name of Alfred Nobel. You might be familiar with his last name. He was the creator of dynamite. His intentions were awesome when he created dynamite. He wanted to create an explosive that could move rocks to build roads and get things out of the way to build buildings. He wanted to create a force so powerful that it would make life better for people. The problem is that people took his creation and used it for destructive purposes, to kill people and to make war. So depressed was Mr. Nobel that his good invention was being used in a wrong and destructive way, he took $9 million and he put it into an account and he began to award people for promoting peace. We know it as the Nobel Peace Prize. What motivated him was the fact that what he intended for good was being used for wrong, and he wanted to award those who were doing what his intentions were. When these people get the award, they become internationally known as Nobel Peace Prize winners. They are called by that name because they are making peace instead of making war. And as Tony Evans so eloquently puts it, God is looking for some Nobel Peace Prize winners, some folks he can bless and award because instead of making war, they're making peace using his method that includes the blood of Christ. He wants us to be Nobel Peace Prize winners in sharing that peace and being peacemakers with a lost and hurting world. And if we want to find true peace in the midst of an uncertain world, not only do we remind ourselves of who God is, but we work to make relationships healthy and strong and fixed. One person at a time. The people around us, the people we come into contact with, because we know that Jesus Christ is our peace. So not only do we find true peace when we're reminded who God is, when we get our relationships fixed, we find true peace when we accept the true source of peace. Remember that this announcement of the glory of God, of praising God, of peace on earth, is for one reason. It's part of a larger narrative that buried in the middle of this passage of Scripture, in verse 11, it says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the angels were coming, or the angel came, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and then the angel declared, Jesus has been born for you, a Savior. And then the multitude of heavenly hosts start to praise God and say, glory to God in the highest. The announcement of the birth of Christ was a declaration of peace on earth because the one true source of peace had been born that day, Jesus Christ. Peace on earth and peace among men. Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what we're celebrating today and reminding ourselves of today as we partake of communion and the Lord's Supper. That Jesus Christ was born and he died for us so that we might have peace with God through him. And the reason that there is so little peace in our world today is that so few people know the Prince of Peace. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we don't have Jesus. When Jesus comes in, he transforms us and he provides through his Spirit the love and the joy and the peace, all of those things that we are reminded of and celebrate during this time of Advent. We find true peace when we accept the true source of peace in Jesus Christ. Back in the year 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever did in his life, because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. Because he knew the peace of God. Another way of putting it is this way, by Puritan Thomas Watson. He said, God the Son is called the Prince of Peace. He came into the world with a song of peace, on earth peace. He went out in the world with a legacy of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Christ's earnest prayer was for peace. He prayed that his people might be one. Christ not only prayed for peace, but he bled for peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He died not only to make peace between God and man, but between man and man. Christ suffered on the cross that he might cement Christians together with his blood. And as he prayed for peace, so he paid for peace. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Do you have true peace? Is God clearly in focus, his praise and his glory and all that he is? If not, put him in focus today. Are relationships right? Are the relationships that you need to mend, that the Spirit of God needs to work in to bring healing? Some of those relationships look like they're impossible to fix. And if we use our tools, they'll be impossible to fix. But if God is working in them, he has a way of bringing peace so that we're not only peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And then do we know the true source of peace in Jesus Christ? As we share in our time of invitation this morning, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit is inviting us to listen to him, to hear him, speaking to our hearts, bringing peace, letting us know where we might not be at peace, so that we can leave here today living in peace in an uncertain world. Let's pray. Father, it is so important that we are at peace with you and that we have a proper perspective of who you are, that you would never become so familiar to us that we think of you as less than who you are. So, Father, in these times where we we pray, and we hear your Spirit speaking, and we respond in song. Speak to our hearts. Father, cement that peace that passes understanding. Guard our hearts and our minds with it, Father, like a fortress. Prompt us, Father, for those things that are causing us distress, and let us bring them to you during this time. And Father, if by some reason there is someone here that does not know for certain they know the Prince of Peace in Jesus Christ, Father, bring that person to Jesus today for your honor and your glory as we pray in his name. Amen.